This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray, and we're going to talk a bit about a pretty unique operation for a very special group of folks. It's called Elijah's Retreat, and the executive director, Cheryl Torres, is with us. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me to be here
today.
Well,
thank you for coming. I confess, our news colleagues over at KETK, I know, did a story with you guys, and I saw that.
Yes,
I thought, I need to get those people on. That looks like a wonderful place.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, and you did great, by the way, in the story. Elijah's Retreat. You're down in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir.
Tell me what the operation is all about.
Yeah, so we're a little unique in the autism world, but we're a 50-acre dude ranch where families get to come out there and stay with us. We've got 6 cabins, and so it's a great opportunity for them to come out and meet other families that are walking the same walk.
Okay.
For the individuals facing autism to perhaps find friends with similar interests who are walking a similar walk. But then we also get to kind of lovingly walk around with these families and push them to do new things, like feeding a goat, hand feeding a cow, holding goats, grabbing chickens, holding bunnies. But then we also get to put them up on a horse. And a lot of times when new families come to Elijah's Retreat, the mom will say to me, oh, there's no way my kid's going to get up on that horse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, challenge accepted, right?
Okay.
If the kid wants to ride the horse, we're going to help them overcome their fear and just baby step it out to where we're actually getting up on that horse and facing these new opportunities.
I would think, what kid wouldn't want to ride a horse?
Well, when it comes to autism, anything new generally brings a fair amount of fear with it.
Okay.
And so there's a big aversion to anything new. And a horse is pretty new if you've never been around it before.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, how did this come to be? I know there was a couple with a vision.
Yes. So I'm not the original founder. The original founders are Jeff and Kathy Moore. And they started this in 2009 when their grandson Elijah was diagnosed with autism. So they moved out here to East Texas from the Dallas area.
Okay.
And then
I can forgive them for that. I'm from Houston, so.
Well, we came up from Houston.
Yeah.
So they started this in 2009 and opened it with the very first cabin. And then Kathy passed away from a car accident just down the road from the retreat.
Oh, wow.
And so her dear husband kept it growing from one cabin to 3 cabins, but kind of a lot on his back with some community support, but he didn't know a lot about nonprofits or how to really get it beyond him. And he was in his 70s trying to run a 50-acre dude ranch for autism families.
Wow. Okay.
And caring for his dear mom, who was in her 90s. And so too much for one man to be able to accomplish on his own. And so my husband, it was closing in 2017.
Okay.
And so my husband and I and our 5 kids heard about Elijah's Retreat from Houston. And we didn't want it to close. So we took a leap of faith and came up here to see if Elijah's Retreat was a thing and something that the families really needed. And obviously it was quite a thing. So in 2017, there were only 34 families who came out. Our first season in 2018, there were 134 families.
Wow.
And now we're over 400 families this year.
Holy smoke. That's terrific. And so basically, I guess I had not realized this part of the story.
Yes.
That you guys saved it from going under.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, we came up as a family. My husband's still a firefighter and paramedic in the Houston area, so he commutes back and forth. And the first year, it was me and my husband and our kiddos who ran the whole thing on $34,000 that first year.
Okay.
So we scrimped it along, but
but how cool for a kid to grow up there.
Yes, sir. That was the idea. We wanted our kids to get out of their own head and think about others and look at others, people's walk, and maybe serve those who are having a little bit harder time.
Yeah.
And so when families come out, they usually get to play with the Torres kids and the other staff kids. And so there's built-in friends there already who know how to bring them into the fold and invite them in to play games with them.
Okay. So, all right. So this is geared toward the autism community.
Yes, sir.
And I know, I mean, because it's a standard line about being on the spectrum, but it is a spectrum.
It is a great spectrum.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are the the extremes you're dealing with in these young people?
Well, so at the retreat, we have all ages that come out. So we have our youngest people are about a year and a half to 2 years of age. And then our oldest ones are in their 50s. And so, yes, sir. So we have a large age range, but with that, a huge range of abilities, right? So we have our nonverbal kids, you know, even up into their 20s and 30s. But then we have great savants who can sit down on a piano and play Beethoven and Mozart. We have individuals who are, you know, going on to college and who are, you know, math wizards or different things. And so a huge range of abilities and a huge range of social abilities as well.
Right. So, okay. I'm guessing, obviously, the nonverbal, the more withdrawn would be the most difficult to come out of the shell.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm probably using the wrong phrasing there, but
But it is. It's hard. They are kind of locked in and have a hard time communicating their needs or their desires or what they want to do, right? And so, but being out there with the animals, they get to experience them the way that they can through their hands and through emotion and through, you know, all of our animals are used to being touched and held in different ways.
Right.
And so they do get to still explore in their way, which then allows us to kind of pull them into our world a little bit, which is really fascinating.
So it's sort of like... it sounds like the barn segment, the and I know you call it the ranch hand adventure.
Yes.
I guess it's half petting zoo, half here. Help take care of the animals, you know.
It is, but it's also therapy in that it's taking turns and that it's also touching the things maybe you're not you're afraid to do. And so we help, you know, push lovingly that they can do these things and show them that they can do these big things that they perhaps thought they wouldn't or couldn't do.
Okay.
So it's a mix between fun and therapy they don't even realize they're getting.
How does it work? I mean, I'm sure you consult with professionals in this sort of thing. Why would working with animals, riding horses, why would that work with this particular problem?
Yeah. So with people who are on the autism spectrum, everything through their senses is exaggerated. Okay. So you know how here on the radio you've got your awesome soundboards and everything like that. So for an autistic individual,
you're assuming I know how any of that stuff works, but go ahead, please.
But individuals on the spectrum have, if you could imagine putting all of the knobs up completely all the way on a soundboard and then try to filter through that information and pick out anything valuable.
Okay.
That's their everyday world. And that's not just with auditory, that's with their feeling, that's with touch, that's with taste, that's with sight, that's with everything. All of their
senses. So it's like everything is just too much.
Everything is too much, and they can't filter out. Like you and I can filter out what's valuable.
Yeah.
They can't. It's all of it all the time.
Okay.
And so how they filter is through one thing, and by adding sensory input, we can help them calm down. So by putting them up on the horse, that motion of riding the horse actually calms their whole central nervous system.
Is it really?
Okay. It's profound. I can put a kid who's maybe nonverbal, 2 or 3 years old, who's scared to be up on the horse, we can pick them up and start riding. And within 30 seconds, you visually see their body starts to calm down and relax. Instead of being tense, they're starting to be loose. And then after about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, they're incredibly loose to the point that now we have to help stable them up there because they're just loosey-goosey. And and then we'll kind of start playing a game with them and interact with them. And they'll start to play catch where they've never interacted and played catch with a beanbag before. Because now their mind is calm. Their whole central nervous system is calm. So now they can think and they can process and they can interact. And it has a profound impact on them.
How did Jeff and Kathy, way back in the day when this started?
Yes, sir.
How did they discover this? What gave them the idea? How about horses? How about a dude ranch?
Well, so they weren't doing the horseback rides yet.
Okay.
We added that, and we added the ranch hand experience as well. But they added the nature. Getting out of the city, getting out in nature helps very much. And just giving them the space. They had a fenced-in playground, which is really important because with autism, we have a lot of kids who are just runners. And so then you're constantly chasing after them.
Okay.
And so they created the safe space where a kid could run within safety and have that distance to be able to explore, but not be in danger. Right. And so that's what they created. And they knew the valuable how valuable that would be because of their own grandson, seeing how he is and what his struggles were in the city.
And I'm guessing even before the horses and all that, that's an excellent point, because if you're talking about the input just being too much, the quiet of a ranch would be a good first step.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just getting out in nature. Having that space to run, but having the quiet, you don't have all the cars, you don't have all the commotion, you don't have the ambulances and just all of that. It's just more quiet.
And what kind of transformations have you seen?
Oh, man.
Tell me about some of the kids.
Oh, some of the kids. So many to tell you about.
Pick a few. We have some time.
Okay. So one of the young men, his name is Joshua, and his mom would not mind me sharing that. The first time he came out to Elijah's retreat, he was 4 or 5, and he was a runner. They live in Austin, and he was a big runner. And so the first time he came out, he actually kind of got lost in the woods, but only for a few minutes.
We found him very quickly. That's okay. Yeah.
Right? But mom and dad didn't quite know where he was. He was trying to navigate his way from the cabin up to the barn, and he was going along the trails, and he got a little lost in there. Okay. But we found him real quick. But he will go about somewhere between 10 to 20 miles a day, either walking or riding his bike or on a scooter. He's just always on the go when he's out at Elijah's retreat.
Okay.
And this is his space where he can do that, because they live in Austin and he doesn't have that freedom or the ability to have that much motion, that much movement.
So I would hate to assign sort of hyperactive, I guess.
He is. He can focus when he's ready to focus on things too, but he really is very thirsty for that outlet of activity. Yes. But yet he had a really hard time taking turns. So doing anything with a sport with that activity would be very difficult, right?
Okay.
And so going on the hay rides at first, it was everything was his turn. It's my turn. No, it's my turn to do this. And so having him wait and take turns with others was very difficult for years. And then his fear of getting up on that horse that first time was really terrifying for him. But then we got him up on the horse. And then one of the first times he was there, we introduced all the kids as a rodeo star while they're up there on the horse.
Okay.
To give them that confidence and have everybody cheering for them. They don't get that very often. And so I introduced him as the brave, the bold, and the brilliant Cowboy Joshua. Well, he videoed that. His mom videoed it. He had his mom play it for him hundreds of times. And so years later, he is still the brave, the bold, the brilliant Cowboy Joshua.
Wow.
And that's how he identifies himself.
So he took to it.
Yeah, he gained a lot of confidence through that.
Yeah.
And his confidence in being able to explore and do things on his own, whereas before he was very timid and wanted everybody else to do it for him. And he's learning now how to take turns really, really well. And so he's starting to play games and doing more activities. Yeah. He's doing karate and different things as well now.
It's funny. Some time back, I interviewed some folks that had a similar kind of operation, and they said kind of what you're saying to some extent, that there's something about horses that they're like wonder workers.
They give them, like I was saying before, that motion just gives them that state of calm where they can think and they can start interacting. But we had one girl who came out to Elijah's retreat, and her mom, It took three of us to get her up on that horse, because she was very nervous and very scared. And once she got up there, she was clinging, kind of a death grip on us.
Nervous
as we started walking.
Oh, yeah.
But again,
he's big, he's strong, he's scary, a little
and
scary.
She's nonverbal, so she can't communicate her needs very well. And so, it's all very scary. But we started walking, and she started giggling. And she started belly laughing. And it went from just this terror, nervous, wanting to do it, but nervous about it, and very nervous about it. And then she ended up putting her arms out and was, balancing on the horse all on her own. And when she got off the horse, she ran right over to her mom and gave her mom a huge hug. And that isn't something, her mom hasn't had a hug in years. Because it meant so much to her that her mom helped her face her fear and do this. And that was something that she could actually do.
Wow.
And then after that, she actually sat down at the table and ate lunch with her family when normally she is off running, doesn't, you know, will kind of eat on the go, mm-hmm. but doesn't sit and interact with the whole family. And she did. Wow. And so it was very transformative okay. for them.
And forgive me, there's a lot of nuttiness out there about autism right now.
Sure.
But what do we know?
Right.
About causes or
we know it's genetic. We know there's a proven scientific genetic component to it.
Okay.
So we know that. What triggers the genes? Well, that's open to a great discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I'm afraid it is, yeah.
Yes. But we do know that there is a genetic component to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, too, that there's a lot that you can do to learn to cope with mm-hmm. autism and learn to mask and do. And, you know, that's what we're able to see is by going out and doing things, you're able to learn and how to face this and deal with the sensory overwhelm world.
Okay.
But with that, again, they see the world differently than you and I do because they're mm-hmm. experiencing everything through their senses as at an exaggerated mm-hmm. rate. They see things differently, and therefore they come at situations or problems that we have in our world with different solutions, right? So Temple Grandin, are you familiar with Temple Grandin?
Mm-mm.
So she's
Yes. I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah. HBO did a movie on her life.
Yeah.
But she revolutionized the cattle industry because she was able to look at everything from a cow's perspective and figure mm-hmm. out what they naturally will do. And
yeah.
so it makes it much easier and much safer for the cattle. If you work with them instead of against them, right?
Yeah.
And so her perspective changed dramatically the cattle industry. And so we find that with Elon Musk. We find that with so many of our mm-hmm. amazing autistic individuals that they come at our world with a different perspective and therefore different solutions. We just have to help them figure out a way to navigate the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how does it work? If I were a parent mm-hmm. of a child somewhere on the spectrum, and I heard this interview.
Yes.
Wow, that sounds interesting. What do I do? How does it work?
So just hop onto our website at elijahsretreat.com mm-hmm. and our reservations are live on there. And so you can just go under reservations and see what our availability is for the year. Now we only allow reservations for the current year mm-hmm. and then we open it up next January for the year after. So that way the new families have an opportunity to book because we do book up really fast. We opened our calendar January mm-hmm. 12th and we had 165 reservations in the first 8 minutes.
Oh,
we had over 300 reservations by the end of the first day.
Well, that's a good problem to have, though.
It is. Know. But there is still availability.
Beats the alternative. Yeah.
That's right. The other thing we also have is an internship program for youth mm-hmm. with autism. So we love being able to be their very first job. And so they get to come out to the retreat and work with us. And we help them figure out what it is to work. And more importantly, the value of working, right? And so nobody really loves the idea of working until you realize the benefit of what you can do for another person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come out and they work at Elijah's Retreat, they quickly realize that they have these younger kids who are there at the retreat who look up to them and say, oh, you're a part of the staff at Elijah's Retreat. I want to do that when I get older. I mm-hmm. want to be like you.
Yeah.
Right? And so somebody,
it's like you want to be a camp counselor, you know, summer camp.
And so they get to pour into these younger kids and they get to learn about autism mm-hmm. themselves. And they get to, you know, we work through just all of the different things about working mm-hmm. at the retreat. And then we help them find jobs after that at other businesses and other locations.
Now, is that the Homestead internship?
That is our Homestead internship.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And so that's been profound for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Book a how long? Week?
It can be a night. It can be up to 7 nights. Any mm-hmm. combination thereof based
okay.
on our availability or your availability.
All right. And I was looking at the website. You have, those are beautiful cabins.
Aww,
I would
you.
Like to own a cabin that nice. They're very nice.
Yeah. Well, you have to come visit.
I will. But they will come and stay on the property.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
How many people can you accommodate at one time?
So each cabin has 2 bedrooms. One has a king or queen size bed. The uh-huh. other bedroom has 4 twin beds, so they're bunked up.
Yeah.
So you can comfortably fit, you know, easily 6 people in there.
Uh-huh.
But you're also welcome to bring more if you wanted to do air mattresses on the floor or the couch.
Okay.
Up to your comfort level in that cabin.
Okay. Getting back to the kids, what
yes.
you were telling us about a couple of kids. What are some of the other experiences you've seen?
Yeah.
That's the part that interests me, to be honest.
Sure.
The transformation. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm just trying to filter through all of them.
Let me ask you another question there. How about your kids?
Oh.
How has it been for them? How old were they when you began?
So my oldest was a freshman in high school when I started this adventure, and I have five, and so then my youngest was a year and a half.
Okay.
And so I had two little ones at home with me when we started this.
There's another way of saying you'll never have one out of college.
Absolutely right.
I have always wondered about that. You'll always be paying tuition, but anyway.
Yes, that's right.
Pray for a scholarship.
That's right, for sure. But no, but my youngest two, you know, really kind of grew up with us when we were out there the first couple years. They did everything with me. And so, you know, my youngest is Abigail, and she is probably one of my best job coaches. She's 8 years old now, but she is out there with me, loves being out there with the kids, and even to the point now that at her school, she has a little girl in her classroom who has some things that make it life a little harder for her. And she has just brought her into the fold without any instruction or advice from me. Oh. The first time I went to and met this this mama was at a parent-teacher conference. And the mom said to me, "Oh, you're Abigail's mom. I am so, so glad my daughter finally has a best friend at school."
Oh.
And she has just helped her, bring her into the fold, and helps her in PE, run with her, and helps her, and just brings her naturally in. So my kids have learned that other people have different abilities, and they're not less. They're just different. They each have their own strengths. And when you take the time to get to know them, it's really profound. And so my kids have all learned that about God's people. And that's really cool, right?
Well, that is very cool. And I'll be honest with you, as the father of a daughter, she's 28 now, but I learned something I didn't know is how mean some kids can be.
Yes.
Particularly if you're different.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And it's good that she has learned at a young age to embrace that.
To embrace it and learned how to bring her into the classroom, into the friendships of the other people.
Yeah.
Not just be her friend on the side,
right,
but actually encourage everyone else to also see.
Come on, let's all play. Yeah.
Her greatness.
Yeah.
Right? That's something I didn't have. I was a very shy little girl.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
I am finding that hard to believe. I don't know why.
Painfully shy.
Oh.
So it's really wonderful to see that her at 8 years of age, it has way surpassed me on that. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do with her.
And all the others have
jumped in their own way, in their own strengths, and building things. My eldest is an electrician apprentice for Bonner Electric, and getting his degree in construction management at UT Tyler.
Wow.
But he helped us build three cabins there at Elijah's Retreat. And so he got to kind of see that firsthand and try it on and loved it and has dived in, and he did all the electrical for us for the three cabins.
So he has a resume he can show his professor.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So they've all jumped in their own way, and the thing that they really like, but they also really do love playing with the kids and have built this community of friends that come out to Elijah's Retreat. So
I don't want to say a hard sell at first. I mean,
my freshman in high school.
That was the one I was thinking about. That's a delicate age.
He was unhappy about us moving from Houston. He had all his friends
Houston. I'm living in a big city. I'm having a great time.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know, as God would have it, we started school here in Jacksonville the day after the Astros won the World Series. So he was kind of...
There you go.
Kind of helped a little bit. But no, he wished that we could have had the ranch right next to his old school. But he adjusted over the years, and he really loves East Texas, and I don't really see him leaving East Texas. So
God
had a plan in it, as he always does.
Well, and I gather he had a plan for you, because this is the kind of thing you were doing, like, straight out of school.
Right. So right out of college, you know, I got a degree in psychology. What do you do with that, right? So I volunteered for a year out in Washington State for a year. Working with
mine was in theater, so yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Exactly, right? So you got to get experience. I got experience doing a volunteer program out in Washington State where I tell them I wanted to work with kids and families, and I ended up working with older adults, 60 and older, coming right out of the mental hospital.
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Well, come on, you're a semi-shrink at that point. Yeah.
It was a wonderful experience. Very much challenged, very much loved it.
This was I was reading your bio. That's the Jesuit Volunteer Corps.
The Jesuit Volunteer Corps. Okay. Yes. Wonderful experience, but not what I was really wanting to get experience in. So then I actually volunteered a second year with Casa de Esperanza de los Niños, for Children in downtown Houston. And so it's a foster and adoption agency that works with kids with disabilities. And they're really very tied into the medical community there in Houston. Yeah. And so we could get a lot of, we could see doctors and specialists right away.
Yeah, and for folks who don't know, the medical community in Houston is
top notch.
One or two in the world, yeah.
Yes, very much so. And so that was a profound experience. So I ended up fostering kids that year, and we had a lot of medically fragile kiddos coming out of the NICU, exposed to everything under the sun, high on drugs, on oxygen, heart monitors, everything. And so we were able to kind of be that first step where we could stabilize all their medical care and get them on from there. And so that was profound. And then I stayed on with that agency and became a caseworker. And eventually I worked in adoption and trained foster families. But really kind of my niche was in attachment and helping the family overcome attachment issues and things like that. And so loved that. But then met my husband. Ended up having 5 kiddos, right? And so then I was a stay-at-home mom for a period of time.
That'll change things,
That was needed at home.
But you had the caring gene going for you, obviously, at that point.
Yes, sir.
Well, I talked about a hard sell to the kids. How about your husband? Honey, what do you think about buying a ranch?
So he's the one who brought it to me, actually.
Really?
He heard about it at work. God did that on purpose, you know that. So he heard about it at work, and at the fire department, they were sitting around talking about this agency that was going to close, and he heard a little bit about it, and he called me up. He's like, hey, have you ever heard of this place? And I said, no, I haven't. And so we started looking into it, and we both prayed about it for about a month, and then he brought it up again, second time.
Whoa.
And said, hey, have you kept thinking about this place? I was like, yeah, I haven't stopped thinking about it. I've done a lot of research on it. I'm really interested in this. I don't know what this is, but I think we need to go look at it. So we left the very next morning and came up here to East Texas to look at it.
I probably don't have to tell you, but it sounds like you married the right guy. Yeah. I mean, into the stuff you were into. Yeah,
definitely. And he, we prayed about it and we asked God, you know, if this is something that he wants us to do, then we're happy. We weren't looking for anything, but if God wants this for us to do this, then please make it obvious. I was like, I need a tangible sign. Like, I need to know this is you, God. Right. And so the first building we walked into when we got out to Elijah's Retreat to look at it was the barn. And at the time, a ranch hand was living in the barn. It wasn't being utilized for all the things it is now.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of the hub of activity. But on the wall of the barn was a sign that said Torres, which is our last name, which is like a real tangible sign.
Yeah.
So I stopped breathing for a second.
We all want a lightning bolt to happen, you know, and then sometimes it does.
It does. And so I had a mini panic attack on the way home going, I don't know. I don't know if I know how to do all of this. But God did the rest, right? All I had to do was just put one foot in front of the other and keep following him. And he's made some pretty amazing things happen.
Did you have any ranching experience?
None of us.
You're a Houston kid.
Yeah. Houston. Well, my husband's from D.C. So he lived in D.C., Dallas, and then Houston before coming out here, too.
Okay.
I grew up in Missouri, and my relatives were farmers, which is very different than ranching. But still, I would go visit the farm, but that didn't mean I had any responsibility or any knowledge of it.
Yeah. those animals are cute. Yeah,
that's right. So when we took over, we had to jump in and figure out all that out, and we realized we had a goat that was pregnant, and so I knew that was going to come on me. I'm sure my husband was going to be at work when that goat went into labor, and we figured all that out. And of course, God brought volunteers and people to us who had the experience that we didn't have, and started doing horseback rides. Mm-hmm. And then I knew how important it was, but I didn't tangibly really understand it until I started putting those kids up there and then seeing that transformation. I was in. And so then I had to figure out the rest of it and figure out what kind of horses we needed and how to train them and who could help me with all of that.
Perfect. So to wrap up, you're a parent in this situation. What do we do?
Yes. So please reach out to go to elijahsretreat.com and sign in and under the reservations and look at what reservations we have available. You're also, if you wanted to do an internship program, just reach out to us on the phone number and call us and let us know that you're interested, and we'll get you plugged into our community and to all the different activities and things that we're doing.
Cheryl, it's been delightful. Thank you so much. Cheryl Torres, Executive Director at Elijah's Retreat. Thank you, guys, and we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.